This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Well, welcome to Remarkable Results Radio. Carm Capriotto here, the pioneer of automotive aftermarket podcast. Hey, thanks for listening, and I appreciate the time you spend with every episode each and every week. You know, your personal networking resource is right here at your service. Hey, are you the type of person that sees potential in others when they don't see it in themselves and you work hard to get them to contribute to the business? Well, too often business owners hold on to employees longer than they should because they want the employee to succeed. And sometimes we give many chances. However, how many chances should you give? When is the time to make the tough decision to let someone go? You know, letting go an employee doesn't necessarily mean that they're a bad person. They just might be in the wrong position, the company, or even the industry. You know, thanks to our partner Shopware and Broadly for providing this episode. Do you remember the 90s? Well, your shop management system does. Printing paper, shuffling clipboards, leaving voicemails. Hey, grab a paper clip while you're at it and pull some trouble codes. The check engine light's flashing and your profits are running lean. On the web at getshopware.com. Hey, lots of companies say they can help your shop get more reviews, but what do they really offer? Well, Broadly is the only platform that partners with Google for reviews and messaging in the auto space. On the web at getbroadly.com/chat. Hey, don't forget, every Tuesday at noon Eastern Time, we broadcast a virtual shop tour on the Aftermarket Weekly broadcast. Every episode is archived as a podcast. You can listen anytime and on my Carm Capriotto YouTube channel. I'd like to introduce you to my guests. Oh, look at this. Carl Hutchinson from Hutchinson's Complete Automotive in Springfield, Missouri. Hey, Carl.
Good morning. It's still morning here. I know you guys on the East Coast.
It's lunchtime where I'm from. Great. And Justin Barrett, also East Coaster from Cornelia, Georgia at Barrett Automotive. Hey, Justin.
Yeah, good afternoon, Carm.
Thanks for being here, guys. Look, a really tough subject. I've talked to so many people that said, wow, what a relief. I pulled the trigger on a really tough decision and, you know, the company blossomed. We had less stress. The culture changed. And it does happen. Thank you so much for coming on the show and doing this. There's not many people that would want to come on and say, you know, I've made a really tough decision on addition by subtraction, you know, making a very, very difficult fire. But, you know, again, I always appreciate that. No doubt that this episode is going to help someone. Don't forget, we do repurpose this each and every Thursday as not only a podcast, but as a video. So, guys, let's jump in this thing. Thank you for bearing all, if you will. And sometimes I have to be in the proper and the right mood, if you will, talk about some things that I may not be super proud of or about. Tell me, you probably struggle to make these kinds of tough decisions, yet at the end of the day, you find out that they were the right thing to do.
Yeah, I think from a leadership and owning the company role, I think personnel decisions are the hardest decisions that we have to make. I know they are for me personally, because like we spoke about yesterday, one of my weakest parts is I'm a big softy when it comes to people. And I really, you know, I see the best in people and I see what they can be. So I sometimes give too many chances for people to correct their flaws. And, you know, especially when they keep proving over and over and over that they're either unmotivated or they're unwilling to improve. And this is one of the areas that I think I've grown the most in the last, you know, probably 12 to 18 months, is just ripping the Band-Aid. You know, when we talked about the EOS tools with the people analyzer, you put people through these series of questions and you give them 30 days to improve. And then if they show that they're unwilling to improve or correct the flaws, you know, you really need to get them out. Because one thing that I have found is you get one bad apple in a group of 8 or 9, and it really starts turning your best performers. They start missing deadlines with vehicle repairs. They start missing their goals. They really start slacking. It's crazy how, you know, one person can really pull down the whole mood of a shop. So, you know, and we really need to guard that. I think that's our one of our most important roles is guarding, you know, the culture of the shop, the feel of the shop, the morale of the shop. And if we let one person in there that doesn't fit, you know, that really affects everyone.
You know, Carl, I know you have something to say, but did you ever have a gang fire?
No, I've never had a gang fire, but there was a day that we lost two or three employees in a 48-hour period.
This has happened to me, where I struggled with the decision so bad that three or four of my great people, great, great people, came in the office, closed the door, and said, "It's him or us."
Yes, we've experienced that. And, you know, going back to the very early days, I had two employees that I thought were friends. Actually, we hired one because of the other one. And it wasn't very long before one was at the other one's throat. And it was either he goes or I go. And I hate to say that I said, "Well, it's been nice knowing you, because you're the problem." And the other one wasn't. So that's that story. But yeah, you don't want to give people ultimatums. I mean, I fell into that category years ago, that I gave an ultimatum and found myself unemployed. So that's not a fun place to be. But the thing with the bad apple is, I think Justin hit on it pretty well there, that a lot of times we don't know that they're the bad apple. That's the thing, is all of a sudden morale goes down and productivity goes down, or you know, you have this showing up for work late or not getting excited, and you're thinking, "Wow, why is this employee that way?" And you come to find out that it's not that employee, it's another one that's causing the issues. And we had a scenario several years ago to where I held on to an employee a lot longer than what I should have. And honestly, I wound up losing two good employees because of it, and I couldn't save them. And it was that I tolerated stuff that I shouldn't have. And the big heart thing, I fall into the same category as Justin, that I see more in people than what they see in themselves. And I kept somebody way too long, and I wound up losing not only that person, but people around them. And then we had to go through the whole team rebuilding thing again. And it's hard to identify what that is, because I did not realize that was affecting everybody else until it was too late and there was no saving them.
Both of you, I hear you say, Carl, Justin, you said, you know, "Listen, I'm a smoothie, I'm a softy when it comes to that." Let me turn that around to, you got a big heart. It's, you know, you got a big heart. You care about people. You gave them a ton of chances. Carl, in the case of you lost two and you kept one, were you not aware?
Oh, yes. And, you know,
you were aware, but you just kept trying to, again, it came up, and if it slapped you in the back. You knew it was going to happen. No, you knew you had to do something, but you never thought you'd lose two versus the one you shouldn't have kept.
Honestly, I should have just went in and you just exited the person out. We would have been 1,000 times better off with nobody in that seat. It just being open, as opposed to destroying really a good work crew that's taken us a long time to rebuild. And that was something, you know, until you've been there, you don't know. Yeah, you don't know what the repercussions are. And so you got to live through it, even though people are telling you, you know, "You need to do this, you need to do that." So yeah, you know, the other side of it is, once those people were out, we were able to identify some really great people that have come in. So yeah, it's that addition by subtraction thing. You know, we actually gained talent. We gained productivity. We gained a whole new way of doing things, because this was in a transition period of us actually running a business like a business instead of running a shop like a shop, like we've always done in the past. You know, yeah, you got to clock in, you got to clock out, you got to, I mean, all these things that we've implemented over the years to make us an actual business, some of the old crew just did not get it. It's like, "We don't understand it." But all the new crew that came in, it's just, well, that's the way you operate. you punch a clock or you do this, you fill out that form, and they don't know any different. And that's really the way that it should be. So yeah, we added by getting rid of, and yeah, sometimes you just don't know who the bad apples are until it's too late.
Well, and sometimes we do know, and we just don't act.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for saying that, Dwayne. I'm sorry. It was Dwayne who just showed up, and Jerry's here.
Dwayne's my middle name, so I'll answer to that also. Yeah,
I bet you will. So guys, what gets in the way of making these tough decisions?
Well, for me, I think it's a little bit of fear. Either
bingo.
And I'm going to have to get back in the shop and work, and I really don't want to do that because I'm going to get behind on everything I have to do. Or, you know, can I replace them? Can I? Because we all know how hard it is to find quality employees. You know, am I better off tolerating versus doing without? And we know that's a terrible, you know, that's a terrible thing to do. But that's sometimes the rationale that we run in our mind. Well, maybe they're not that bad. You know, we'll just tolerate them.
Yeah.
Cause
that's exactly it, Justin.
Yeah. I've exactly played that, you know, the devil and the angel on your shoulder type deal. And you're going back and forth. Well, they're not that bad. You know, they do okay. At least they're producing 20 hours a week.
Right.
He's so right, Carl, and you agree with him. And look at Jerry says, I've been there and done that. I finally had to let two go 2-3 weeks ago, and everybody else comes to me and said,
yeah,
boss,
it's about time.
It's about time. And so the fear of the unknown, will I have to? I have always heard the great stories. Everybody stepped up. It kind of reminds me of vacations. Did you ever see how successful the place runs when somebody goes on vacation? The greatest person in the world. At the end of the week, we all worked hard, but we got through it.
That's exactly right. We've all of our record months that we've ever had in production and sales, there's always been somebody off on vacation. There's always been maybe a sickness or whatever. But you look at that and you go, wow, you know, that 40 hours of production or whatever, that person wasn't here. What if? What if they were here? Where could we be? And why does it run better when there's all this weirdness happening? But yeah, every time that we've had to make an adjustment within our staff, it's always cool to see who steps up. And it's not always the people that you think. It surprises me sometimes. I just absolutely love it when they come to me and they go, hey, I know you're in a tight spot. What is it that I can do to help? Can I take this off of your plate? Or can I volunteer to do this? Because I know that was part of their job. Or I'll stay late. Or honestly, it just amazes me when people do that. And I love the growth. I mean, if anybody's been around me very long at all, they know that's what we are here. We identify people and try to make them grow. And you know, that's right down to our core values. And so that is my struggle with when I see more in people than they see in themselves, and I hang on to them instead of, like Justin said, just rip the Band-Aid off and go out and shake their hand and say, it's been nice knowing you. That's a challenge, because I always want to see people succeed, and I give them all the tools to succeed, but then I'm probably the one that gets in their way too when they need to be somewhere else.
Yeah. And I think one thing that I've learned is, you know, they're not necessarily bad people. And right. I think this is a discussion that we had to have, because we had, you know, there's whenever we decided on this topic, there was two previous employees that were top of mind that I held on too long, probably three, but I made a decision on that third one pretty quick because I learned from the other two.
You're learning.
But you're getting calluses.
Yeah, I guess. Learning, getting a little more wisdom, a little more a little more seasoned. But, you know, they're not bad people. It's just that it didn't fit in our environment, or they would have been better somewhere else. It's like the right seat theory. You know, this just wasn't the right seat for them. It wasn't that they're bad people. And, you know, I'm still friends with both of those those guys today, and you know, we talk, and was actually texting the other day, and they're happier than they've ever been, and I'm happier than I've ever been that they're not here.
You know, guys, we did a show, I think it was 3 weeks ago now, on transformational coaching. And it was a great episode. So much to learn from that. It's about staying close to your people. It's about opening transparent communications. And it goes back, Carl, to, I guess, if the dialogues were strong within the company, all people's, not just the person that you're really looking to carry over the line or make a decision on. What are they talking to you about? What are they saying? But the rest of the team, because you should always be testing the, if you will, the blood pressure, the pulse of the organization by staying close enough to your people. You want to hear from them.
Yeah, and that's one of the challenges, honestly, as we've implemented new ideas and different ways of operating here. You know, you've got these quarterly meetings, you get these, you get to sit down and visit with your staff. And, you know, there's a whole program there of tell me what's working, what's not, you know, what are you struggling with? Tell me what's broke. And honestly, it's not necessarily tools or equipment. It could be, you know, what's broke is my relationship with XYZ over there. We can't breathe the same air without fighting. And, you know, you need to know that. And then being open and honest, and not just at a leadership level, but really across the whole board, you need to have that ability to have the open door, so to speak. You know, anybody can walk into my office and sit down and visit with me and be open and honest and not jeopardize their job. That we need to make that very clear, that if we have a relationship issue, we have somebody that's doing something out of line, that is something that has to be done, whether it's me or another staff member that's set up in that position. But that goes right back to hiring and orientation. You know, part of our orientation is you're not only to police yourself, but you got to police the other people too. If they're doing something unsafe, or they come in with alcohol in their breath or whatever, that is your responsibility to let us know, because they are jeopardizing your job. They're jeopardizing my job. So, it's an overall thing, and being open and honest is very hard. I mean, really, it's very hard for people because they feel like it's going to come back on them, but it's for the betterment of the whole company.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad you said hiring, Carl, because I think that is the key to preventing a lot of this. I think we've all read the book, The Ideal Team Player. Mm. I think I've read it 3, maybe 4 times. I actually assigned it last summer to the whole staff to read. And the book opened the eyes to one of the guys that we had a problem with. And he confided in the other guy, said, after reading that book, I don't think I'm in the right place. Then he was gone within 6 weeks. It made my job pretty easy. But
right.
I was getting into hiring because we're going through the process right now of interviewing for another tech. And one thing I've learned, what I used to do is if I found someone because we needed someone, we hired them on the spot. But now we've really slowed that process down, you know, do the phone interview, really read over the resume, call the names that they put on the application, check the references, bring them in. We did I did a 2-hour sit down interview with a candidate on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Went really, really well. So I let him leave. I called him back the next day, and tonight we're scheduled to go to dinner with him and his wife, and we're going to have a nice dinner together, kind of get to know each other on a more personal basis, see what his relationship with his wife is like. You know, what is that dynamic? Right. Because I don't know if you've worked with an employee who has a pretty rough home life. I mean, that does lead into work. You know, as much as we want to say, you know, leave home at home and bring work to work and keep the two separated, that's impossible. You know, so, mm-hmm. you know, all those things are important to me anyway. Whenever I'm bringing someone in, I want to make sure that, you know, they're good people. They got a, you know, pretty stable home life, because that's going to affect how they operate at work. And I want to make sure all that stuff is kind of gelling before we bring them in. Yeah. But if we can stop, you know, that bad apple from ever getting on, you know, on the team, it's going to be a whole lot easier.
Hey, Carm here. Now, you know you should always be recruiting for new employees. Find out how Justin Barrett gets that done. That's the sound of your staff's time being wasted with busy work. Listen, we all know time is money. The good news is you can take back a little more time and a lot more money by using Shopware's shop management system. Sound good to you? It sounded good to the other hundreds of shops that are currently running on Shopware. These are shops that aren't just surviving, they're thriving with Shopware as their SMS. You might be wondering, what do I need to do to get started? Well, Shopware is actually one of the best in the business when it comes to easily onboarding. So you can just sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride while their team is hard at work to get you up and running. Book a demo with my friends at GetShopware.com today. Did you know there's actually a best time to ask a customer for an online review? It's true. According to Broadly, asking for a review right after service is key. Think about it. That's when the car looks good and the customer is happy and in the best frame of mind to give you a good review. And all those good reviews? Well, that's what's going to get the attention of people who search for auto shops online and get you even more customers coming into your shop. Do you have a company helping you out with reviews? Do they make sure each customer is being asked to leave you a review? Broadly gives you the confidence to ask and receive more quality online reviews from your clients. Get Broadly's system. Help prospects have confidence in your shop when they see a large number of five-star reviews. Make the move. Visit Broadly on the web at getbroadly.com/chat to start chatting with a Broadly representative and learn more on the web at getbroadly.com/chat. Hey guys, we were talking patience, having patience, and I think you can still have a big heart and have patience. It goes back to a thought that I had as you were explaining, Carl, about running the business in a very professional way. And you know, I just can't help but think my great friend who we lost just recently, Bob Greenwood, said, we're a profession, not a trade. And for so many that have come across that threshold, jumped over that valley to professionalism, you're running your businesses differently and it poses you so many different challenges. And so you're really looking forward to how can I take an individual that I see so much potential in? I'll never forget. I had a person I hung out for 6 months. 6 months, person couldn't get it, couldn't get it. I kept showing, and the person kept saying to themselves, tab A into slot B. He was talking to himself about all the tasks that he had to do, and I kept saying, why am I doing this? I mean, it kind of almost was dragging me down, but I saw so much incredible. The person was a great person, and I thought that when they made the leap over to really knowing what the job was, that they were going to be a superstar. And that was one of the great moments that I always go back on and say, I would hang in there with a person, sometimes blindly too loyal, because I had a 6 month success rate. And in some cases today, we can't allow 6 months to burn.
No, you really can't. And, you know, it's a challenge because the labor pool is so small now, and we're honestly in the same battle with the HVAC people, the plumbers, the electricians, whatever trade you want to say, we're all focusing on that same type of a person. And so now that one person has choices to go wherever they want to go, and they really have to have a passion to be in this industry. I mean, you just almost have to live, eat, and breathe the cars anymore to be in this industry. And that's one of the things that we do look for is, you know, did they play with their mini bikes? Did they take their lawnmower apart? Did, you know, were they fixing the neighbor's car? Were they putting brakes on their in-laws' cars or whatever? And, you know, those are the things that we're looking for. And, you know, you just don't have time anymore to, you know, Justin's in a much different market than I'm in. I can't take 3 days to hire somebody. If we identify somebody that fits what we need, I'm making an offer right now. And it's because they're at three more interviews right after mine, and they'll be gone before the afternoon. So we've had to change our focus and really just jump on them fast and weed them out fast, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got an apprenticeship program here, and that is golden. I mean, it's absolutely golden to grow people, but you have to be in a mindset that it is a growth thing. And, you know, we get a few bad apples for that too. We've had some that I thought were going to be great, and a day or two shows up and it's like, oh yeah, no, we're going to exit out of that one. And I mean, it's a challenge when you want to invest. You know, our apprenticeship program's 2 years long, and that's just to get you to not even a master technician. We've got a 4-year plan to get people to what I call a journeyman technician, just experience-based model. And that's a huge investment. I mean, that's a huge investment in somebody. So we want to protect that pretty close. And I don't just let everybody into that. But, you've got to identify them pretty quickly and figure out, well, do they have the aptitude? Do they have the desire? And, you know, do they get where we want to go with it?
I agree completely. And, you know, Carl, I'm probably going to be in that same situation again pretty, you know, I'm sure in the future where I got to make a quick hire, but I feel pretty comfortable right now and I think we're in a good spot where we don't have to make a hire. You know, we're really just making a hire for growth so we can mm-hmm. take in more cars, increase our capacity. So I kind of feel lucky and privileged that we are in a position where we can slow the process down.
Yeah.
But that could change next week. So you never know.
Carl, if you weren't rushed, would you slow it down, or are you just saying I've got to jump on any living, breathing thing and bring it in, work our system, hire quick, fire quick instead of hire slow?
Right, and you know, that was always the model or always the advice before. It's hire slow, fire quick, or you know, however you want to look at it. But now it is. There's probably 100+ positions available in our market right now for a technician of various levels. So if you've got one guy that's moving into the area, or if you've got one guy that's unhappy where he's at, honestly, he doesn't have to roll his toolbox very far, and he'll have a job. I mean, it's just there's such a vacuum in our market. So when we identify somebody that you know, has the abilities, even if we have to train them, if we have to coach them, if we have to do something to get them up to speed where we're at, I'm usually making them an offer pretty quick and getting them in. But boy, yeah, if I had to do it the way we were doing it, absolutely. I would love to slow down. I'd love to take them to dinner because, yeah, family problems, home problems are probably one of the biggest issues that we identified with our personnel, that they show up late, they come in a bad mood, you know, they just, their production's low. I mean, all of those things. And when you get to really asking them about it, it's like, well, I didn't get any sleep last night because me and the wife were fighting, or the kids were up sick, or, you know, or whatever. I mean, the multitude of problems, but I'd love to slow it down. I'd love to be able to take a couple of days and do it.
And I like this idea, Carl, you say, well, listen, if I make somebody an offer, I know they have three interviews later that day. But if you had a fistful of resumes, because you always be recruiting, right? Always be recruiting. You can still, if you will, build a relationship through non-rushed meetings. Instead of looking for an extremely hot back burner, you know, 10 temperature person, you're looking at a 5 and a 6 on the pressure scale, and then you can spend time with them and then say, we're getting ready to hire fast. We need a person. We'll go in the folder that says, I took them to dinner. I know they creamed up. You discovered the kind of issues that would worry you about hiring them. It's a great point, Dwayne. And again, he's got 5 shops, and he's in a metropolitan area, very much like you, Carl. That would predicate him to make quicker decisions. And to me, it's very smart, Dwayne. Thank you for that.
I need to get to know Dwayne.
Oh yes, you do. Yeah,
yeah, I really do. I need to get to know Dwayne.
He'd take a phone call from you tomorrow.
Yeah, that is a good idea to vet them before you ever need them. And I think that's before COVID, when we're still having you know, the after hours training classes through Napa and CarQuest, all them, I still really, even though I'm not in the shop, I still want to go to those training classes, shake hands with everyone, introduce myself. And we're actually putting on a training class here at the shop in a couple weeks and get shops coming to our doors.
Yep.
Just to stay in front of people, you know, introduce them. And you kind of get to see them in the environment, how they interact with others. So you can kind of point out, yeah, man, that guy would be, I would really like to have that guy on my team. Or that guy's a little rough. I probably don't want him.
Yeah, you want them coming into your facility going, oh, wow, your place is clean. Oh, wow, you've got a nice clean sink. Oh, look at that. You've got scan tools. You've got, oh, look at that. You got a nice whatever. And it's like, wow, it'd be kind of nice to work in an environment like this. I mean, they're not going to tell you that, but I was a technician. I mean, I went to all of these trainings and the different shops, and you know, I've been to some places like there is no way in the world you could pay me to work in these places. But the opposite is true too. You know, you want them walking through your door, and to me, that's a great marketing plan, Justin, to have the trainings at your facility, and you just have an open door. They walk through, and they're gonna know. You know, they walk into your break room or whatever, and they're gonna know, wow, you got a break room. You know, you actually have a table or a chair or a TV or air conditioning or whatever. And it's like, I'm eating in my toolbox. You know, I mean, we see a lot of shops, and that's it. I've seen many picnic tables in the middle of shops with a fan blowing on it, and that's their break room. And you know, I don't know. I don't necessarily want to work there. And I don't want that environment for us. And you know, we go out of our way to make it better. I will tell you a quick story just about this. Since get back to the topic of addition by subtraction, I offered a guy a job one time, and I thought, man, this guy is awesome. I mean, just interviewed him. We went through the two interviews, went through the whole thing, and put a job offer letter in front of him, and he was really reluctant to sign it. And I thought, well, okay, that's red flag number one. And so we had a handshake deal, and it's like, yeah, you know, bring your toolbox, and poof, he was gone. He never came back. He wouldn't answer his calls, emails, or texts, nothing. And it's like, okay, maybe that fits this program. By not adding him, I don't have to subtract him. So
no, you probably dodged a bullet. Yeah.
And I think maybe it was one of those things that he may have felt intimidated by us. I don't know. I mean, we run a different operation than a lot of places, but I think that fits that bill. It is. I just thought, well, that's one person I didn't have to have a exit interview with.
Hey, don't forget to subscribe to my YouTube channel and get the skinny on everything we're doing here. Guys, did you ever fault yourself? Ever fault yourself for a bad hire or a no-show?
Every time. I mean, it's ultimately my fault. I let them join the business. It was my duty to vet them and to see through the mess. It's always my fault.
Yeah, it always rolls uphill. Unfortunately, it's not like plumbers. It doesn't roll downhill. It all rolls uphill. Whoever's the guy that's doing the interviewing, whoever's the guy that's doing the quarterly meetings or the weekly lunches or whatever it is, he's the ultimate one that's responsible for making that decision, whether it's correction or whether it's exiting or elevating or whatever. You know, it's one of those things, leaders don't make excuses. And I've never made an excuse other than I own that problem. I own what happened, and I can't do anything about the past, but I can sure fix the future. And I mean, all of the things I look back employee-wise that I can't say, well, that's somebody else's fault. I can't say somebody else owns that one, because they all come back to me. And as we add people in to do the HR stuff and the interviewing, you know, it's ultimately going to be them. But you as the leader, you have to own the problem. And you have to – every time I've ever had an issue with any employees, one of the first things I do is I go out and gather up all the rest of the employees, say, this is what happened. This is where we're at. I own this problem. Unfortunately, this was the fix for it. And we have to go forward. And, you know, there's some things that you can cascade out to your staff, and then there's some things that you can't. And that's the challenge. I mean, you know, we want to protect people, and there's a lot of people that's worked for us over the years that I still call friends, and that I had to shake their hand and walk them out the back door. And I still call them friends. And I honestly love that, because we all play in the same sandbox. We all go to the same trainings. And I want to be able to walk into a training class or wherever and shake their hand, hug them, and ask them about their kids and that kind of thing, even though they don't work for us anymore. And, you know, that's a challenge.
Well, guys, look, I want to bring this to a conclusion. I want to do a last call here. One of the great talking points that I heard here today was to get over your fear. I want to add a couple of things to that. Life happens. It's not a perfect world. Don't dump on yourself because you made a bad hire. Dump on yourself because you maybe let that bad hire last too long. And keep close to your people, because I think that, you know, they always know what it is that your strengths, they know your weaknesses, and they know what you do and don't do good for the business. Your people know. Don't think that they don't. So let's just go around the room, and Carl, let me give you your last call. Then Justin, you can put a bow on it.
You know, the one thing that I like to see is even if people that don't, or should say no longer are employed with Complete Automotive, I want to see them go on and succeed. I want to be that guy that stands behind them and says, you know, you didn't succeed here, but you're going to succeed somewhere else. You're just in the wrong environment. You may be in the wrong trade. You may be in the wrong position, and there's not another position here for you. But I don't want to walk away from people. I really like to be behind them, even if they decide they want to be a firefighter or a nurse or whatever it is. I want to be able to be behind them and say, you know, I was a part of that. Or if they go on to be a great technician or service advisor or owner somewhere else, I was a part of that. And I think we ought to be proud of what we do and how we handle our businesses and how we handle our staff. So I think that's one of the things that I'd like everybody to take away from this is you're doing the right thing for that other person, not just yourself.
They probably weren't happy themselves.
So they just got to give them a nudge. There was a book. I can't remember the book, but it said there's going to be, I think it was 3 days of pain with the decision of letting someone go. I can't remember which book it was, but that is 100% true. And as soon as you get that feeling, I mean, you listen to your gut, you know what decision you need to make, especially if you're, you know, you're in the business, you're staying really close to the pulse, communicating with everyone well. You know, just rip the Band-Aid, get over it. It's going to be 3 days of hurt, and then you're going to be fine. And, you know, I've made the mistake of just making it, instead of 3 days of pain, 6 months of pain.
I'll throw in one last thing here. I don't want to steal your glory there, Justin, but it just dawned on me. For those of us that are married and our spouses are involved in the occupation and in the process here, listen to them. They know way before you do. They know way before you do. So yeah, we have to listen to that, that other person. So that's
been one of my journeys. Yeah. I concur.
That is one of the smartest things that was said all day today. Listen to the significant other. They have a perspective, especially if they're not deeply involved in the business, they can see it differently.
Right. They have a whole different set of eyes, and they ask a whole different set of questions, and they watch body language. They watch the eye rolls. They watch all that stuff. And yeah, every time that we've ever had an issue, my wife has been on it way before I was. So,
hey guys, thank you so much. You know, the best kept secret in the automotive aftermarket is Remarkable Results Radio Town Hall Academy for personal networking. If you don't belong to one, I encourage you so much to be part of a 20 group, a network, a business development group. And if not, you come here for all your juice. Thank you so much to Carl Hutchinson from Complete Automotive and Justin Barrett out there in Cornelius, Georgia. Guys, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, Carl.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.